Mr. Jenkins, welcome to our program and thanks for your time. Can you please tell us how you will encourage men to engage with their general practitioners around health issues?
Yes, certainly. Thank you for having me here. When I meet people, I'm very happy to discuss the subject of prostate cancer because I was very fortunate to survive this experience, and it was scary at the time. What I do generally, just talking to people, is I tell my personal story.
Yep.
And as an ambassador for the Prostate Cancer Foundation, when I go out into the community, I start my presentation with that story, how just really quite by accident it was discovered that I had prostate cancer. The bottom line message for the community, for men generally, is that once they turn 50, it's important that they have regular screenings so that they go to their GP, talk about prostate cancer, have a discussion about the pros and cons of having tests. But we encourage men to have a test at least every second year once they've turned 50. Maybe if they have an annual health check, that they have a blood test, and as part of that blood test, they have a PSA test to try to find out if something's going on with their prostate.
Yeah, we will go more detail during our interview. And as you said, you're a prostate cancer survivor. When were you diagnosed and what were the circumstances?
Well, I was having an annual health check with my GP. That was back in 2008. And he suggested that I have a PSA test to check for prostate cancer. It's something I'd never thought of. So I had the test. And to my surprise, the first reading, the first score I got with the PSA was 3. Now, that wasn't alarming, but my doctor said, look, that's not terrific, so why don't we come back and have another test in 6 months' time? So I did. And then with the second test, my score had gone from 3 to 6. So at that time, my GP referred me to a urologist, and the urologist said, well, at that level, you should have a biopsy to find out what's going on. And again, a bit of a shock, I found out that I had confirmation of cancer. The pathology was done to find it was an aggressive cancer. And then the urologist recommended or suggested that I make plans for prostate cancer surgery, which occurred only 4 weeks later.
So soon, yeah.
So I hadn't asked about prostate cancer tests. It was simply that at that particular time, my doctor said, it's about time we started. Quite fortunate.
9 years later, as you can see, you seem to be in a really good health. And why is that?
I was very fortunate because the prostate cancer was diagnosed early. Even though it was an aggressive cancer, it was confined to my prostate gland. So if the cancer had gone beyond my prostate gland and into my body, that would have been quite serious. So my prostate gland was removed during the surgery. And fortunately, all the tests I've had since then have shown that there are no signs of prostate cancer whatsoever. So that meant that my cancer was localized, and that because the prostate gland was removed during surgery, my risk was minimized, and there's no sign of the cancer coming back. And I'm an optimistic person and don't believe that it will.
Sure. And have you experienced any ongoing side effects from your surgery?
Yes, this is one of the unfortunate things about prostate cancer. Unlike other surgeries or other diseases that might be cured through a surgery, prostate cancer does affect a man's quality of life for the rest of his life.
Yep.
There's a small but significant proportion of prostate cancer survivors who suffer from incontinence. Once again, I was fortunate. I don't suffer from that problem. But the majority of men who have this surgery do suffer from sexual dysfunction.
Yes.
And I'm one of those.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to report that for men who do suffer those problems, there are very effective remedies.
Yep. And just to go back to your role, like today and this week especially, why did you become an ambassador for the Prostate Cancer Foundation?
Look, I was just concerned that, as the foundation is, that so many men are unaware of this problem. The shock to me was to learn that more men die of prostate cancer than women do of breast cancer.
Oh.
And we're all aware of how much awareness there is of breast cancer in the community,
yes.
And therefore the screening for breast cancer is quite high. So when I learned that the screening for prostate cancer isn't as high, I thought, well, maybe I can play a part. So I talked to some of the people at the foundation, and they determined that the best role for me would be to become an ambassador. So I've been doing this now for about 3 years. So I go out into the community and talk to people in businesses or in clubs or associations, sporting clubs, yeah, various organisations, and just reach as many men as possible to make them aware of the factors concerning prostate cancer, the statistics, the risks, and do my best to encourage them to do what I just said, have a test on an annual basis.
That's also what we are doing today. I have said a few words, but if you can tell us a little bit more about the work of the Prostate Cancer Foundation.
The foundation, its main work involves research, and in particular looking after the needs of men and their families who are affected by prostate cancer. So as well as providing information, the Prostate Cancer Foundation has support groups around Australia that look after people who have got prostate cancer, and also specialist nurses. So they're our main programs.
One common question is, isn't prostate cancer an old man disease?
Yeah, look, generally that's true. It's mostly men over 60 who are affected. But I have two friends who were diagnosed in their 40s. So prostate cancer can affect men of all ages. So one should be concerned that if prostate cancer can occur at an early age, then certainly you should be tested from the age of 50. But the majority of men who get prostate cancer are over 60.
Yeah. But what kind of the symptoms should men look out for?
Well, that's the scary part. In my case, I had no symptoms whatsoever, and that's true. In the early stages of prostate cancer, there may be no symptoms whatsoever. But if symptoms do occur, there can be various problems with urination, maybe finding blood in the urine, or experiencing pain maybe in the bones if the cancer has spread beyond the prostate gland and into the body. I hasten to add that when any symptoms appear, the chances that they might be related to non-life-threatening conditions such as prostatitis. That might be the situation, or possibly it's a benign enlargement of the prostate.
If someone is diagnosed with prostate cancer, what are the treatment options?
Well, that depends on a number of factors. More importantly, it will depend on whether the cancer is an aggressive one or a slow-growing one. With the latter, depending on the man's age and the condition of his health, watchful waiting or active surveillance might be recommended. I mean, older men, will die with prostate cancer rather than of it. However, with an aggressive cancer, the treatment options could include surgery, radiotherapy, hormone therapy or chemotherapy.
Aggressive or non-aggressive, I know this disease is one of the really, really most dangerous sort of cancer. In Australia, how many men are affected by prostate cancer?
Over 20,000 men are diagnosed every year. It's a big number. Mm. And more than 3,000 men die every year of this disease. Mm. It's the second most common cause of cancer deaths in males after lung cancer. Fortunately, though, prostate cancer has one of the highest survival rates, with something like 90% plus of men living beyond 5 years of their diagnosis.
Yeah. And is there a genetic link with prostate cancer? What if a man's father had been diagnosed?
Yes, there's a strong link. If a man has a father or brother who had been diagnosed with prostate cancer, their chances of getting prostate cancer are much greater. So what we say is that if any man has a first-degree relative who had been diagnosed, they should be tested from the age of 40.
Yeah. And what about prevention? What about lifestyle? Can men reduce the risk of getting prostate cancer?
Yes, it's not just genetics, it is lifestyle. And with the increasing incidence of prostate cancer in Australia, the indications are that lifestyle is the factor that's causing this. So men have to look after, or people do generally look after their diet and also exercise. So the same recommendations with respect to diet that are made for heart disease are also true for prostate cancer. So having a healthy diet can be a preventative factor, And exercise every week, moderate intensity exercise, also helps the possible prevention of prostate cancer.
Yeah. What does the Prostate Foundation recommend about testing?
We recommend that men over 50 do have a test on a regular basis. We say it's important to talk to your GP about this and find out the pros and cons. But ideally, they have a prostate-specific antigen blood test, the PSA test for short, and have that test either every year or every second year. So that's our recommendation. And generally, if you talk to your GP, they would agree that that's a sensible thing to do, and that becomes part of your annual health checkup.
And from your experience, is there anything else you might suggest?
Look, there's so much ground to cover. There's a lot of information out there.
Yeah.
And in particular, the Prostate Cancer Foundation has a wealth of information on its website. So for those who want to know more, I'd suggest that they go to the website, which is www.prostate.org.au.
I saw in some brochures, there's some brochures which are generally talking about what you need to know about prostate cancer and caring for someone with prostate cancer, then about support groups for people affected by prostate cancer. Again, I would like to thank you for your time, Mr. Jenkins, and all the hard work and dedication you put to helping spread the word on men's health. I hope that your words today will reach out to not only our male audience, but also our female listeners as to counsel others to get their health checked. I have to say, since I hit my 50s, I call my GP on my birthday each year and book an appointment for a full blood test and body checkup. I find that it's the easiest reminder for me personally.
Thank you, Amir. I must say also to your female listeners that they ought to encourage the men in their lives to have these annual checkups. Men sometimes can be reluctant to do this,
yes.
So they need a bit of a nudge from time to time.
And as we said, there's a really, really high percentage of people who survive on early detections.
Indeed. In fact, that's the key message. Early detection is the key.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.